number two out of bounds. William Quagamus, Ben Milstead with you. You know, I want to read this text. This text from the 803 says, two problems. One, when players are posting highlights from a loss to their social media, we have a problem. I agree with that.
Agreed.
Now, that, I think, is more of a generational problem, and it's not look around. Follow some other players on social media and look at them. This is what happens. This is what happens. It's not a Clemson thing. That's number one. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's literally all of them. I'm going to say them because, like, my generation wouldn't have. Number two, when players are making more than the average person will in a lifetime, we have a problem. Here's the deal, though, and this is where I think that narrative is. I think it's convenient to look at it right now. I think that narrative is overblown because, like, some of these guys are costing themselves millions of dollars in future earnings right now. So, like, you're making $1 million this year. That's great. Do you know what rookies make in the NFL that are first-round picks? If I don't get picked in the first round, number one, I'm not guaranteed a roster spot. Number two, I don't get the guaranteed money that comes from the signing bonus and all that stuff. These agents are not telling people, you're good. Like, we want to make agents the culprit. But agents are not telling people, you're good. You don't have to care about this. You made a bunch of money. I just don't think that's true. I think you have really talented players on paper that are just not playing well, hard. I don't know what it is. They're not producing like they were supposed to be producing for this team.
If you've listened to this show at all, you know how I feel about NIL. I am not a supporter of NIL in its current stand, in its current formation. However, I don't think it's convenient to blame NIL for Clemson players not playing hard. And you might be right, but that comes back on the coaches because other coaches are figuring out how to get that out of their players. If Clemson was the only one paying players, then you'd be on to something. But everybody's doing it. I mean, Tennessee was paying players before it was legal, allegedly. And they got a lot out of their players Saturday afternoon.
That's right. A lot of mercenaries on that team, too. Some people use that term. Let's go to Darren and Pickens, who's up with us next. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys. Oh, boy. Man, I tell you, after Saturday, I'm like, okay, all my expectations are gone. And it's just like popped a whole bunch of my balloons. You know, all this preseason hype about who's going to do what and what to expect, and then this happens. And I'm talking, you know, I'm a Carolina fan. I'm talking both ways here, Clemson and also. It's just, I was expecting Clemson this year to really be a national championship team, and they just are not. And South Carolina, good grief, man. Who was that team that showed up, or is that their real colors? I don't have any – you know, I'll be surprised if they win six games this year now. I was hoping they'd get eight or nine in, but now I'm like, uh-uh, nope. So I've dropped my expectations. So I don't be so disappointed.
Now, I will say this. I mean, Sellers was not terrible before he left the game. But I do think, I mean, I'm not sure they were going to win if Sellers played, to be perfectly honest with you. I do think you have to factor that in. That, like, South Carolina's offense was built around Lenore Sellers. That's literally what they said when they brought in Mike Shula is, why did you bring in Mike Shula? Well, Cam Newton. That's literally the defense of the Mike Shula hire is Cam Newton. Well, the Panthers weren't building that offense around not Cam Newton. That if they lost Cam Newton, he wasn't winning the MVP, they weren't going to the Super Bowl. So, like, I get that. I sort of understand that. But like I say, I didn't think the offense was phenomenal before he went out. And certainly, I mean, the last five series, they didn't punt, but they turned the ball over. They turned over, I think, three times on downs and a couple fumbles, maybe two fumbles, interceptions, something like that. Horrible, no good, very bad night for South Carolina. And a good night for Vandy, who for sure circled this game and backed it up. I thought Vandy played well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, my Air Force team lost. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. That was tough.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. I hope it cannot get any worse.
Darren, the sun's up, buddy. You know, sometimes we can't wait for Saturday to get here. This time I'll say they don't play until Saturday, brother. Appreciate the phone call.
Amen.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks very much. Appreciate Darren checking in. Let's go to Jacob, who's up with us next. What's up, Jacob?
How you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
Hey, so real quick question, and I'll take it off the air so I can listen. I was listening to a podcast the other day with Greg Olson, and I don't remember what the exact wording he used was, but he was talking about the NIL and basically how, all in all, NIL is not bad for college football, but his take on it was, or his opinion on it, I'm sorry, was it's going to either have transfer portal or NIL, but you can't give them both where they can go to one school this year and make $1 million and then go to another school and transfer two or three times and pretty much treat it like free agency while ripping all these schools off. I don't remember what the exact extent of it was that he was saying, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll take it off the air.
Thanks very much, Jake. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I don't think that has anything to do. In fact, the criticism of NIL that we're seeing from Clemson fans right now is actually the opposite of that, where people are saying, well, everybody knows they're going to play and everybody knows they're going to start and everybody knows Clemson's going to pay them, so there's no sense of urgency. Like at other programs where they have a sense of urgency because they know if they're not performing, then somebody else is going to get paid to take their spot next year. I mean, now, again, I'm not going to pinpoint that as the reason that Clemson's 1-2. In fact, can I say that, and I don't want to dwell on this because I don't think this is primarily responsible for what people are seeing. I think people are objectively seeing a Clemson team that has fallen well beneath everybody's expectations. It's possible we look back at the end of the season and see SEC champion LSU, ACC champion Georgia Tech, and think to ourselves, remember when Clemson played close games against them and we thought that the sky was falling? Now, if you're asking me, do I believe that right now? No, I don't. I don't think this team is done losing. I don't think they've shown me anything that tells me they're done losing. I think there are tougher games remaining on the schedule. But it's possible that we're looking at that, that at the very least that LSU and Georgia Tech are playing in their respective conference championship games and that these losses are going to age well. In fact, if you look at Georgia Tech's schedule, I think as long as Haynes King can peel himself off the turf after every game, somehow, some way, they're going to be favored in every game until Georgia. I don't see a single game on the schedule that, as of right now today, that I don't think Georgia Tech is going to be favored in. Which is, I mean, they're 3-0. If they're going to be favored in the next eight, that means that Vegas says they have a chance to go 11-0, which would be remarkable. That would be absolutely remarkable. That does not absolve Clemson of blame for the things that we saw or didn't see on Saturday. Texas says Georgia Tech's horrible. That, by the way, that's not a horrible football team. They're not as talented as Clemson. They're not as talented as some other teams Clemson will play, but they're not horrible. Brent Key has beaten 7 ranked teams at Georgia Tech. They were better than Georgia last year. And they're not, I'm not sure they're better, but every time I watch them in a big game, they impress me to some degree. And I know not everybody felt this way. I said at the beginning of the year, when people asked me, when the schedule came out, what's the game that you're most nervous about? At Georgia Tech was the game I was most nervous about for exactly what I just said. Let's go to Maria, who's up with us next. Hey, Maria.
Hey. It's like, get back to where you once belonged. That's how I feel about it.
That's what everybody's saying. And the question is how, and the question is why are they not back there?
My mom looked at me and says, "Why can't we make a first down? Other teams do it."
Tell your mom I'm asking the same question. Tell your mom I'm asking the same question, Maria. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I did notice it. Remember a couple years ago, Clemson was struggling offensively, but they were making 1 million first downs. And we were going, they're moving the ball. It's not like they're not moving it.
Got in the red zone and died.
That's right. This year, they're like third to last in the ACC in first downs in the first 3 weeks.
Yep.
And that's before we go back to the phones, I do want to ask this question. And we talked about that Clemson played reasonably well on Saturday. And I know that sounds crazy that we would say that, but, I mean, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. They lose the turnover margin. And the 3 points they gave up, and maybe the 3 points that they cost themselves with the red zone turnover, is the difference in the game. I mean, that is the difference in the game. You could argue whether being -2 in the margin and -3 on the scoreboard off turnovers should matter against a team like Georgia Tech, but that's a different deal. It did. Through three games, we are through the first quarter of the season. What is Clemson great at? Anything? I'm not talking about just run pass. I mean, you can get as minuscule and micro as you want. What is Clemson great at? What is the idea? We have no idea who this team is. What are they trying to identify as their identity or develop as their identity? And who are individual standout players that you feel are on a path to greatness this year?
Texas said three and outs.
I knew we were going to get that. Punting.
Like I saw that coming.
You know what? They're actually not great at punting. But relative to the standard around here, they have been really good. They're actually below average in the ACC in punting. But they're not like last or next to last. But think about that. You played three games so far. That's a quarter of your schedule. National championship aspirations, playoff aspirations, conference championship aspirations. What are you great at? I actually looked it up statistically. You can find some numbers that Clemson is like top two or three in the ACC at. Most of the numbers are middle to below the middle of the ACC through three games. That's a pretty sobering question to ask yourself. What are you great at? Considering that, I mean, and Ben, you are not as bullish as other people on what Clemson could be this year. But even you were talking about the legitimate five alarm fire weaknesses on this team were not there, and this team should have been able to move the ball. They should have been able to do some. You would have thought at a minimum that Clemson's like, you know what, Cade's been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. We think when Antonio Williams gets back, we think the receiving core can elevate. You know, you're thinking that's some, the offensive line depth. You know, you lose a couple people, but you've got some defensive line. You're playing 12 guys in these games. Cade Denhoff's in the fourth quarter. By the way, there's been.
Yeah, normally I would be screaming about that. I'm just being honest here. Normally I'd be screaming about that. I welcome that Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I thought Denhoff played really well. Played well.
Denhoff and DeMonte Cape. I thought DeMonte Capehart's second half is the best half of football by a Clemson defensive lineman this year. He individually stopped Georgia Tech on 4th-and-1. When it was 21-21, I think it was 21-21, and Georgia Tech's driving the ball and they go for it with a quarterback sneak, he individually stands up the center and pushes him back where the tight end that came to snap the ball could not get any push whatsoever. He single-handedly blew that play up. I've been critical of Capehart this year. But that second half, I thought he was the factor on Clemson's defensive line. I really did. Let's go to Old School, who's up with us next. What's up, Old School?
Guys, how y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
I'm sitting here watching. I'm going to give us a break from Clemson for about 2 minutes, okay?
All right.
And tell you how I was watching the Georgia game on Saturday, and under my breath, I'm just cursing you and Quark out. I mean, you and Ben out, because y'all going to tell me I had nothing to worry about, and that's all I did was worry Saturday evening. What a great game that was. And I also think that two people should be, at least for a couple of games, should be not criticized, and that's Gunnar Stockton and Mike Bobo. I think Bobo called a really good game, and I think Stockton should have quieted a few people.
I would agree with that. Let me say this, Old School. The post games after games like that are tough enough. But when I have to sit here in the studio and every time I glance up at the TV in front of me, I'm watching Tennessee hit a 70-yard touchdown pass and during our first two segments. Literally every time I looked at the screen, somebody from Tennessee is just running wide open. And I'm watching him catch a ball and I'm going, dear Lord, this is my nightmare. This is my nightmare. I'm going to have to resign from the radio because of the stuff I said about Tennessee last week. But
exactly.
You know what? Georgia, let me say this. Georgia won the game. At a certain point, I actually was like, I kind of want Tennessee to win this now. Like, they kind of earned it. And Georgia legit stole what Kirby said on the field. Georgia stole that game from Tennessee. They were not the better team.
I won't say they weren't the better team. I would say both teams could have won a game. Tennessee at the game won three or four times. That the pass that that Gunner threw to, I think it was I forget that the what the fourth and six. Who did he throw it to?
Oh my goodness! Oh man! If we weren't on the air right now, I could tell you.
London Humphreys.
Humphreys, that was it. Yeah, the Humphreys throw. That's right. A beautiful ball.
And then to get the 2-point conversion after that was just, I don't know. Anyway, I won't hold up. Let you get back to the other stuff you're talking about. But I just want to put my two cents in on that. Thank you again for messing my Saturday up. I didn't have to worry.
Thanks, old school. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, I gave your defense too much credit because I just did not see Tennessee offense putting up almost 500 yards of total offense against Georgia. I didn't. And I'm wrong about that. Like I said, Tennessee lost the game, but I am much more encouraged about Tennessee now than I was before the game.
100%. 100%. I'm a little concerned about Georgia's secondary. Because remember...
Well, again, I mean, 500 yards of offense. That'll create a little concern.
Like, Tennessee scores that first series, and I legitimately looked at John Hight, and I was like, and here it comes. Kirby's going to put the clamps on him. 14, 21. And it's like big plum going, oh, no. My team total under is going to be cooked by 4 o'clock.
I know a lot of people don't like Kirby Smart, but yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to think of a coach that makes better halftime adjustments than Kirby Smart. And maybe it's not necessarily adjustments, just Georgia at the start of a third quarter is dangerous, man. They are dangerous.
How they come out of the locker room is a defining characteristic of the program. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point. 654 Roar is the number. We continue on with Jerry and Seth. You can join them on the phone. 654 Roar is the number on the phones. Or Adams Coverfing Tech Sign. We'll return for more right after this.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
The Tigers don't start the season without practice. Neither should your HVAC system. Get your Blue Ridge Heating and Air Tiger tune-up special now and save over $100. Expert service, just $89, helps boost efficiency, prevent breakdowns, extend your system's life, and we'll even clean your outdoor coils if they're dirty. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air today. Just mention Tiger Tune-Up for the $89 offer. That's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, ampmfarmsbutcherymarket.com.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul, all in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Hey, Saturday's coming fast, and we've got the talk to get you ready. This is College Football Talk on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Arthrex, keeping people employed in the upstate. Thousands and thousands of jobs here in Sandy Springs, Pendleton, right there on Clemson Boulevard. They are creating the orthopedic tools, the surgical tools to help people from weekend warriors, professional athletes get back in the game. They're right on the forefront of it. Their company is doing great work nationally, globally, and you can be a part of that right here in the upstate. They have great amenities on site. They have daycare there. They have transportation subsidies, on-site medical clinic for you and your family. They have a gourmet chef making meals. They have attractive shift schedules, athletic fields, pickleball courts. They want your well-being is at the forefront for them. They want you to love coming to work because they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate about their employees, and therefore, their employees are passionate about what they do, and they have jobs available all across the spectrum. If you want a different experience, you want to move up in your same career, this is a great company, a great culture, a great place to work. Go to the website, careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com. Let's go to Jerry, who's up with us next. We got some phone calls to roll through in this segment. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Quark, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Got a question, Qual. And again, I'm trying just to be as positive as I can, but also be honest as I can. To me, the way that we're playing is no different than last year. As a average football team that are just not making the play that we need to make. You know, you go back to the third down play on the sidelines. If Wesco comes up with that pass, you have the ball a little bit longer. Who knows? Maybe you go down there and score. Okay? On the last drive that Georgia Tech had. Okay? We stop them. It's second and nine. We give a real big cushion, a little like to me. We're now there 3rd and 1. Okay? They pick up the first down. And then we do it again. We stop them for a yard or so on the next play. We give them a cushion about the same play on the sidelines. It's just that we're just not making the winning play. You know, Devin talks about two or three plays away. Well, it's more than that, okay? You can't look at just a few plays. As many plays during the game. It's like y'all said, the guys that we expect to be number one draft picks and stuff like that are not making their plays. That's why I was hesitant this year to buy into the hype, because again, I had to see if we got better, on the last drive. So, I mean, how many teams did we give the chance to have a chance to come back and beat us last year? SMU. I mean, if we made some plays in that game in the third or fourth quarter, that game's over with. We're just not making winning plays. It's more than one or two plays. It's a lot of them, in my opinion. What do you think, Walt?
Well, I agree with you, Jerry. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I think one of the things, and probably this is, once again, this is my only take. If you recall that Tuesday after Labor Day, we came in on Tiger Tuesday, and I said the only thing that I felt super convicted about for the LSU game is that we did not see complimentary football. It was just not complimentary football. And to me, what Clemson has after three games is the thing in baseball that you absolutely hate to see. And when you don't see it, you love it because you know you've got a great team. Clemson right now is the team that with one out and nobody on in the sixth inning of a game where you're up 2-1, the second baseman makes an error. And then the pitcher walks a guy. And then the pitcher gives up a single, and then he gives up a three-run homer after maybe a fielder's choice or something where they get the lead runner. And all of a sudden, you're down three runs, and it's really nobody's fault. There's a bunch of people to blame. But the reality is, if you want to be a great team, that pitcher's got to strike out the next two guys. And the defense has to play well around the error from the second baseman. If you've got a pitcher who walks a guy, that ground ball to the shortstop's got to be a 6-4-3 double play. You got to back your guys up a little bit. You give up a run, you go get one back. How many times Brad Owens talk about that? And again, I'm using a lot of baseball analogies because I'm gonna take it to football in a second. But I think it's so critically important in baseball. You score a run, the worst thing you can do is give it right back. Rebound runs is what Brad Owens says. Conversely, you give up a run, go score one. Has nothing to do with what happened on defense. But it is complimentary. It is saying, hey, we need to pick you up today. We got this. Right now, Clemson has no we got this people. Adam Randall got a first down on a 30-yard run on a 3rd and 22. Okay, that was a little bit like, hey, I'm gonna get this done. I want to see a little more of that. Like, hey, this play that wasn't automatic was made, and I'm just letting everybody here know that I'm the best player on the field right now.
It was an enormous play, by the way. In fact, if Clemson could have found a way to win the game, that was the play.
Yes.
3rd and 22, yeah. That was the play.
It was huge. I don't think Georgia Tech had a play like that because Georgia Tech didn't need one. They were up 13-0, and if we're being honest, if Clemson punched right there and Georgia Tech scores points, the lights might be out. I mean, really. At 3rd and 22, you're thinking some of the worst-case scenarios you could have imagined are on the table now. Adam Randall changed that, and it got everybody going. But, like, for example, I don't feel comfortable blaming Bryant Wesco for his drop. Because Bryant Wesco is the reason that you're in the game. His stat line was unbelievable. He's the one receiver that did anything.
I mean, I'm not. See, here's the thing. We can't get mad at Dabo Swinney for saying one play away, but then when fans want to single it down to one play while you lost.
That's right. That's right. You can't do that.
You can't have it both ways. I do think you can blame Wesco for dropping the pass. I mean, you're right. He did a whole lot of great in the game too. His touchdown run has been overshadowed by the loss. I mean, that was unbelievable. It's been a long time since you've seen a wide receiver just flat pull away from guys like that. It was a great run. But at the same time, you missed the layup early. Like, you had the highlight dunk, but you missed the layup.
That's a good point.
You can't do that when you are right now wide receiver one. You can't miss those crucial plays. And I'm not buying into. I agree with Jerry on the one play away thing. I mean, one play away works a lot of ways. You know, you're also one play away from being 1-7 in your last eight against Power Four.
No doubt.
Something I've brought up all summer long. Nobody wanted to hear that.
Georgia Tech, by the way, was 0-2 on fourth down. They're two plays away from maybe winning by three touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And no coach at Clemson should ever. Be aware of how one play away sounds to your I mean, Tommy Bowden ruined that for everybody going forward. So you got to stop saying that. But Dabo Swinney also said a lot of other really good things, like, I'm the leader of the program. It falls on me. That's a direct quote. You know, we're not retweeting that one. We're retweeting the one play away talk.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. And I've said this, and of course, it got almost no traction on Twitter because nobody wants it when it flies in the face of their narratives. We just want confirmation bias. You know, for all the people who said, you know, nobody in this press conference has any balls. Nobody's going to step up and ask him any tough questions. He literally was asked in the Sunday teleconference yesterday, what can you do better? He was asked that, and he answered the question. To me, that's a tough question. What can you do? You said everybody needs to do something, but what can you do better? You know, what went into your decision to do X or Y or Z? What went in? There have been tough questions asked of Dabo Saturday and Sunday, and there likely will be on Tuesday as well. Tomorrow, we're going to be there live. I'm just telling you. This is not a place where nobody's asking tough questions. Not right now. I do think, you know, and I want to go to Seth on this. I agree with you on Westcott. He's got to catch that ball. To me, Clemson is too talented to ask any one player to be perfect in the game. And that's really my issue. Like, we're asking Bryant Westcott because other guys haven't picked up the slack many, many times over that he's got to be the one guy that's perfect.
One other quick thing, and I heard Adam Randall attacks today. And by attacks, I mean talking about him personally as a running back. And I would just point out that in my opinion, you don't blame a player for being put into a learning situation. The reality is he probably should never be in this situation, and that is not his fault. Said all summer long, you're putting a whole lot of hope in a guy who had four career carries. And you went into this season knowing that your RB1 had four career carries. Was it four or seven? I think it was four.
Four, yeah, four career carries.
That is not Adam Randall's fault. And Adam, this is the weird thing, and don't attack me for this. I think Adam Randall is one of the few players on this team who has actually gotten better every game he has played this year.
Oh, he was much better in this game than he was against LSU.
That is not to say Adam Randall is perfect and that Adam Randall has it all figured out, but you are seeing Adam Randall grow as a running back. The issue is, again, just my opinion, a team like Clemson should not be on the job training for RB1, and that is not Adam Randall's fault.
That's right. It's actually to his credit that he's willing to embrace it. I agree with that. Let's go to Seth, who's up with us next. What's up, Seth?
How's it going, Qualk?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
I have been blessed enough to be able to go and see all three Clemson games this year. And, I was just like everybody else. I bought into the hype throughout the offseason because I thought it was warranted. I thought we had a great squad coming in. And the defense, I'll be honest with you, I'm happy with the defense. Yeah, we're 1-2, but that I see improvement from the last couple of years. My big takeaway is that I feel like Cade is not going through his progressions of his routes. I feel like he's locked in on the receiver. As soon as he hikes that ball, he knows where he's going, and he stares him down, and he throws the ball to him. Prime example is that last throw against LSU. I mean, we had guys open on the right side. He throws it to the single guy on the left who's covered. And that's after listening to some callers earlier talking about players running wide open down the field. We have players open. Cade's just not finding them. And I think that's our biggest problem as a team right now, is our quarterback is not getting the ball to the open receivers.
Listen, I don't disagree, Seth. I'm going to try to squeeze one more in there. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Call in more often.
Sure.
I think that's a good point. Now, I think there are times where, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think there are times where Cade is not going through his progressions. I actually think there are other times where Cade is giving up on plays and he's hitting checkdowns. Like, there's one play that people are mad about that I want to talk about more because I do want to get big Clemson fan in before our next break. But there's a play that people are talking about where it's like a 3rd and 6 and they threw a 2-yard pass and it ended up being a 2-yard gain or something. People are like, how dare you throw short of the sticks? Well, all the other routes were beyond the sticks. And I can't imagine that Garrett, first of all, I will say, if it was, it would not be unnatural for a play calling for a pass to be thrown short of the sticks in the air raid offense. The air raid offense requires yards after the catch. Like when you're running mesh, you're thinking that you're going to beat man coverage or you're going to sit down in a zone and you're going to get yards after catch. That's kind of that's one of the basics of the air raid. But regardless of that, everybody else has passed the sticks. Everybody might have been covered or not. We don't know. But Garrett Riley is not calling plays where the design of the play is to throw short of the sticks necessarily. It's hard to know if it is or he isn't, but there's a lot of people going, man, we keep running our receivers short of the sticks. Well, number one, that happens sometimes in air raid. But number two, the other guys were not. Also, Georgia Tech's first third down of the game is 3rd and 9. They literally threw a tunnel screen. Georgia Tech threw a tunnel screen on 3rd and 9 and got like 15 yards, broke 2 tackles. It's possible to throw short of the sticks and get a first down. Let's go to Big Clemson Fan, who's up with us next before we take our next break. What's up, Big Clemson Fan?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Okay, I got 3 questions.
All right.
Is Williams a junior? And on defense, do we ever rush 5? And on offense, what was the run-to-pass ratio, excluding the quarterback runs?
Those are great questions, Big Clemson Fan. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I can answer those real fast. Antonio Williams is a – you know what? I said I could – I need to check. I think he's a redshirt junior. Everybody just sort of assumed it would be his last year because it's his 4th year, but I think he's technically a redshirt junior. Let me see this here. Yeah, redshirt junior, so that's number one. Number two, there were quite a bit of 5- and 6-man pressures. Maybe not as many as you would have liked, but there's quite a bit of 5-man pressures that Clemson's bringing. Sometimes with a quarterback mobile like Haynes King, you're rushing 4 with a spy, so you're trying to contain it, but then you've got a spy in there as well. And I saw some 5-man pressures with a spy, so Clemson was devoting personnel to that, I thought. And then the third is excluding quarterback run. Now, I don't have design versus scramble on here, but excluding quarterback run, you had 26 passes and you had 18 runs. Cade Klubnik was responsible for 43 plays, either running or passing, and the running backs and Tyler Brown were responsible for 17. So that's that. 43 to 17 is the ratio there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have lots more to say about this, some individual efforts and plays and things like that from Clemson's 3-point loss to Georgia Tech. Stay with us. More Out of Bounds coming up. On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the 5th quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the low 400s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise.
Lennox in the air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
Hi, everybody. I'm Don Munson, and up next is your Clemson Daily Update, presented by BASF. Hey, Tiger fans, want to join another winning team? Join the hundreds of BASF employees creating team chemistry every day at BASF in Seneca. Starting pay is $24 an hour with more for experience. BASF offers rewarding careers, top-tier benefits, and opportunities for growth. Apply now at www.basf.com/Seneca. That's www.basf.com/Seneca. BASF in Seneca, we create chemistry.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Our Clemson men's golf team, under the guidance of Jordan Bird, will be one of 12 teams competing in the Invitational at the Honors Course in Chattanooga, Tennessee, starting today and then concluding tomorrow. The teams will play 36 holes today. They'll go 18 tomorrow at a course designed by Pete Dye that opened in 1983, and it's a course that has hosted both a U.S. amateur and the NCAA tournament. Clemson, Duke, and Virginia are the ACC teams in the field. SEC teams include Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Auburn. Marquette, the host school, UT Chattanooga, College of Charleston, and Pepperdine round out the field. National rankings have not been released, but it's anticipated that as many as 7 of the top 10 teams in the nation will be in the field today and tomorrow. Clemson coming off a tie for second place in the 16-team field at the Myrtle Beach Golf Trips Intercollegiate. Thomas Higgins will be in the number one position for Coach Bird in the Clemson lineup. He had an eighth-place finish at Myrtle Beach thanks to a 5-under par 211 score. Don't forget, Tiger Hour with Dabo Swinney tonight along network lines from 8 to 9. Hope that you'll be able to join us. As always, go Tigers!
Here at The Roar, every day is game day. We are 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Continues out of bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. You know, it was not fun. It was not fun here in the Upcountry Fiber Studios on Saturday, as you can imagine. It was not fun at all. The only glimmer of light after about 3:20 on Saturday afternoon is when I looked on Underdog and I realized, oh, I did indeed cash on the Clemson-Georgia Tech game. Cade Klubnik higher than 24.5 rush yards. Haynes King higher than 14.5 rush attempts. And Bryant Wesco, higher than 0.5, rushing and receiving touchdowns. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. It's a beautiful thing when you hear that sound. You hear the bell, you hear the register, playing Underdog. I had a mixed day in the NFL yesterday, but, you know, I ended on a high note in the 4:30 games. Made a little money, not a ton, made a little money. It was a good weekend, solid weekend. After I got washed out last weekend, it put me right back where I was before. You can do that, too. Download the Underdog app. Use our promo code OOB. You'd be an idiot not to, because here's what you're getting. You are getting $50 in bonus funds when you make your first $5 play. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won. Billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18-plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/ playing. Get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org.
Quark's not going to brag on himself, but I'll brag on you for a minute. You're killing it in your picks, man. 7-3 in the OOB bank and 7-3 in the college football in our pick'em contest. It's a pretty good weekend.
Give it time. Ride the wave while you can, because it won't last forever. We know that.
I mean, 14-6 between those two, That's pretty strong. Walt, by the way, 8-2 in our contest.
Let's go.
You go 80% in this college football environment right now when, man, in my opinion, these first 3 weeks have been horribly difficult to figure out what's going on.
Oh,
as evidenced by my picks.
We won't talk about that. We'll get them next week.
You get 8 out of 10 right now. That's strong. 8 out of 10 anytime.
If you went 2-0 in Arkansas, and what did we play the Georgia-Tennessee game at? It was like 7, wasn't
it? 7.
Yeah, so that one's a little bit close. But, like, I was on the right side of Arkansas at 6.5. Wrong side of Georgia if you're playing it at 3.5. That's just tough. It's tough stuff. Let me say one before we go to Jason Columbia. Let me say one more thing about complimentary football, because I do think that, like I said, Bryant Wesco. I said we can't expect Bryant Wesco to be perfect. Somebody needs to be perfect. Somebody needs to put their hand up and say, "I will be perfect. I'm making every play out here," because nobody's doing it. There's nobody on that whole roster that's going, "I'm making all the plays." And that's why you're in the position that you're in. Because the second that the defense gets a 4th-and-1 stop and they finally get off the field for you and they give you pretty good field position. Capehart makes the individual play. Georgia Tech got a little too cute, little cutesy there with the tight end quarterback sneak. And they end up getting, I mean, you got opportunity now. Take the lead, extend the lead. Like, you can put some distance between you and Georgia Tech now. You go 3-and-out with your best receiver dropping the ball. That's tough. So then you punt the ball right back to the defense, who once again can't get off the field. Ben, I said this after the LSU game. People did want to ding the offense, and I agree with that. LSU got at least one first down on its first 9 possessions. When the offense, I'm going the baseball analogy. When your offense is struggling, the worst thing you can do as a pitcher is have a long inning. Get out there, 1-2-3, back in the dugout, let's hit. Somebody has to take some ownership. I mean, truly. And I don't think it's Tom Allen, because he's literally had these guys for 8 meaningful quarters. Like, I'm sorry, there's people that are dinging Tom Allen. I'm not going to ding Tom Allen. The personnel has to take notes. I was told there were 4 first-round picks on his defense. I'm seeing 0 right now. Somebody's got to be responsible for getting off the field. We talked about this. The best Brent Venables defenses led the nation or were among the leaders in 3-and-out percentage, and they were among the nation's leaders in the red zone. And Tom Allen's defense has 1 of the 2. They've been pretty good in the red zone. They've been really 1 of 5 on 4th down, the opposition. They've been really good on 4th down. They've been really good in the red zone.
My only negative about Tom Allen, I need Tom Allen on the field. I don't need Tom Allen in the booth.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that.
Listen, that's their coaches. They know best, I'm assuming. But we were told all fall camp how players respond to Tom Allen, and he loves them, but it gets in their face. What's Tom Allen telling anybody during a timeout? You call a defensive timeout. Like, I'm being serious. How does that communication work? I need that eye-to-eye contact there.
I could not agree more. I've not agreed more with anything you said today. I need his energy on the sideline. Honestly, I'd be doubly enthused to get a takeaway if I thought Tom Allen was going to body slam me into the dirt after. Let's go to Jason in Columbia, who's up with us next. What's up, Jason?
And that is a great point. You know, it's so ironic. The last guy should have had his A in the booth. He would have been perfect up there.
Yes.
Tom Allen needs to be on the field.
Absolutely.
Yep, yeah. And you know, man, Jerry, he got me triggered because I'd somehow forgotten about, we got him 2nd and long on that final drive, and all of a sudden our cornerbacks have bailed all the way out of the picture. And Haynes King says, "Thank you. I'll throw a 9-yard out." And then it's 3rd and short, and guess what happened after that? You know, David Pollack was losing his mind during the broadcast. He's out there tweeting, "Why are they leaving Haynes King wide open, dude? You could have driven a truck through those holes on 3rd and short and 4th and short. You know, I thought Ben brought up a great point earlier, too, when he said, look, there's so much good football being played and fun, entertaining football that doesn't look like you're, you know, painfully trying to work your way out of a slog. But it does to me call the notion of culture into question a little bit, as far as those
players on other teams, like that Ben was referencing, they do look like they're playing hard. They look like they're playing free or playing freely. You know, we do look like we're trying to roll a boulder up a hill both ways. You know, and everything, like Quark was saying, why does it take 8 downs for us to convert a first and goal? I mean, everything is just so painful right now. And I think it just, when you're sitting there watching it as a fan, you're sitting there with clenched teeth, right? Because everything is so hard and there's never any rhythm. And I just want Clemson to be fun again. But also to Quark's point, you know, there were plenty of close games during the glory days. I mean, that 2016 season took 5 years off my life because, I mean, whether it was an awesome team or a team we should have just dispensed with, there were so many one-possession games. But in the end, those dudes stood up and made plays when they had to, and you knew that you could rely on them in the clutch. And I just feel right now, man, this program is missing its clutch gene bigly, and we need an infusion of juice. And that was kind of my point earlier today, Quart, when I mentioned the facts and the Will Helt thing relative to transfers. For years, we heard that Dabo didn't want to upset the culture of his locker room, and the locker room was our portal by bringing in maybe outside influences and whatnot, even though I do agree with a lot of Dabo says about the state of football. But then you see a guy like Will Helt, and I'm like, man, Will Helt, he's not perfect. He blows some assignments, but, dude, he's out there making plays, and he stands out right away through the first 3 games. So I'm like, I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, I think you feel somewhat similarly. I think the Clemson locker room culture needs a kick in the A right now. It needs some juice, and it needs some outside influence. So that's kind of where I was coming from on that. But great points today, and I always appreciate both of your perspectives.
Well, thanks, Jason. I appreciate your perspective, too. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, let me say this. I think I was too dismissive of the culture question by the caller earlier today. I think of culture a little – when I hear that word, I'm not necessarily thinking about what you guys are saying. But you're not wrong. Culture can mean a lot of different things.
You're so thinking more like off-field, like get your stuff done, like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I was too dismissive of that question and or that comment, rather, and that – I do still think we confuse culture and chemistry sometimes, but, you know, Jason's not wrong.
To Jason's point, though, about the kick in the A that the locker room needs, I'm going to workshop a theory. I'm going to just throw it out there. I'm going to throw it out there right now. Part of the mantle of leadership, and this is the hardest part. When Nick Saban talked about leadership and all the things you have to sacrifice when you get into leadership, leadership sounds fun until you realize what it costs. And he talked about all the costs of leadership. One of the costs of leadership is that you don't get to play poorly. You don't get to be normal when you step up and have a leadership role. And, you know, I said what I said about Wesco. To me, Brian Wesco, what was Wesco's line? Like 7 for 130 or whatever? I mean, what, 120-something receiving? I'll pull it up here in a second. 7 for 126 and a touchdown. You're not in a game without Wesco. He's targeted 8 times. He catches 7. He drops 1. I'm going to have a hard time blaming that guy, but sometimes that's what leadership is. Sometimes leadership says, I don't get to drop a ball. Sometimes leadership says, I don't get to misread coverage. Sometimes leadership says, I don't get to miss the read on the RPO down inside the 10, which, by the way, Dabo even said it's not a good read by Cade. I'm not talking about whether the read was good or not. I'm talking about the fact that it was a takeaway and not just a deflection. That was a filthy play by the DB from Georgia Tech. I'll be honest. I don't know that there are many defensive players.
It's a great play.
It's a great play.
Yeah, it really was.
The guy levitated off the ground.
Kate thinks he's throwing that ball where it can't be tipped or anything. Yeah, it's on Cade. I'm not removing blame from him, but sometimes you do have to just give some credit to the, like, if you win the game, that doesn't feel like a big deal. It would be if you win the game, it's a lot easier to give, I guess, your opponent credit. That's a great play. And Adam Randall saved a touchdown right there, too, by the way, running it down from behind.
Yes, he did. I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, that's a great play by the opposition. It's a great play. Clemson's also allowed to make great plays. Clemson's also allowed to not miss a tackle, blow an assignment, miss a read. And I'm just not, I don't even really know how to say what I'm trying to say, but I don't feel like there's anybody that's willing to sacrifice humanity. Like, there have been some people in the past in this program that have sacrificed the right to have a bad day because they knew they were that important to the operation, and they knew that if they had a bad day, the team was probably going to lose. I'm sure Christian Wilkins had a bad day. Do we know that, though? Can we think of one? We think of a lot of good days. Deshaun Watson had some bad days, let me tell you. He had some bad days, but in those bad days, he was making a lot of plays.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990-3075. American Doormasters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
Books down, chalk up. It's the ultimate college climbing showdown at Blockhaven. Clemson, Furman, Brevard, and Anderson University are taking to the walls for glory, pizza, and a sweet-looking shirt. Rep your school at the College Brawl at Blockhaven on Friday, September 19th. Register online by September 16th, bragging rights included. Go to blockhaven.com/collegebrawl to enter. That's blockhaven.com/collegebrawl. See you there.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina. Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer? Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at vermeer.com/dig.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us.